Today's Shi'at Zatzi of the Shemizbach on Daf Chaf Tes Amid Aleph, 12 lines from the top with the words Ksiv Zihaterach. There is a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim, Perek Dalid, pasuk Chaf Aleph, that reads as follows: Zihaterach Zihaneiros, V'Yamelkochayim Zahav, Hu Michlois Zahav. Now we know what Terach is. That's the flour. Neiros are the lamps. Melkochayim are the tongues that they use to work with the wicks. But what is Michlois Zahav? Frek the Gemara, Nai Michlois Zahav. Amar of Ani, Shekilosei Lechol Zahav Sager Shal Shleim. Michlois means it's finished off. The flowers and the lamps and the tongues of gold finished off all of Shleim HaMelech's fine gold, his special gold. Rashi explains the term Zahav Sager comes from the fact that when this gold was sold, all other gold stores had to close up because nobody could match it. It was a very special brand of gold, and Shlomo HaMelech used up all of it in making the menorahs. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav, continues the Gemara, Esa menorahs vasa Shlomo, Shlomo made 10 menorahs, v'chol achas v'achas, and for each one, hebilo elef kikar zahar. He used 1,000 kikars of gold. Now, it's not that he made each menorah out of 1,000 kikars of gold. Rather, he took each 1,000 kikars off, v'yachnesiu elef pamim lekor. He casted each one into a furnace 1,000 times, v'yamidu al kikar, until it was reduced to a single kikar. So we can understand how special this gold was, if it's the byproduct of 1,000 times the amount. Frek de Gemara, eini, it can't be. The Gemara's problem is, enachanami, 10,000 kikars of gold is definitely nothing to laugh at. But do you know, asks the Gemara, just how much gold Shlomo had? He had a lot more than that. The Yaksiv of the Pasuk says, V'choil klei mashke hamelach Shlomo zar, all of Shlomo's drinking cups were made out of gold, nothing less. V'choil klei beis yar halavonain zar saget, all the kalim in the house of the forest of Levonain, meaning the Beis Hamikdash, were all the best kind of gold, the most expensive gold. Ein kesev nechshav b'mei Shlomo l'me'um. Nothing was made out of silver, because silver wasn't worth anything. Shlomo was so rich. Everything was just gold. Now let's bear in mind, when the pasuk in Malachim over here gets to Shlomo's drinking vessels, as after the pasuk described the other golden things that Shlomo had. Like his throne, for instance, with the 12 golden lions on the sides, with golden lions on top, with the huge steps covered with the finest gold. So Shlomo HaMelech was really very rich, and he had a lot of gold, and therefore the Gemara finds it difficult to understand that these 10,000 kikars that he used for the 10 menorahs emptied him out. And for the Gemara, no, Zav Sager Karminan, we didn't say that Shlomo HaMelech's gold period was finished with the menorahs. He had a lot more than that, but this special Zav Sager, the kind of gold that when this gold was sold, all the other gold stores had to close up, that gold he used up for the menorahs. Now this the Gemara accepts. There is always special, and there is always something that is extra special. So Shlomo HaMelech had a lot of gold. He only had one kind of real special gold, and that he used up for the menorahs. There is, however, another problem the Gemara deals with. We said before, he took 1,000 kikars of gold, cast it into the furnace 1,000 times until it was reduced to a single kikar, and that's what he made his menorah with. That would mean every single time he put the gold into the furnace, it lost an entire kikar. It was reduced by that amount. Frek the Gemara, umi chaser kuli hai, but does it really lose that much every time it goes into the furnace? The Italian we let in a braise, the Yossi, the Yehuda Omer, Mai said, once happened, the Yossi menorah beis hamikdash yisera al shel Moshe bediner zav kardikni. This was a kind of a coin, and what happened was that they realized the menorah they had in the Beis Hamikdash at that time was too big. So they had to find a way to reduce its weight back down to a kikar. It wasn't much over. It was just a dinner zav over. So we have to see pei pamim lekor. They cast it 80 times into the furnace. And finally, after 80 times, the hamadil al kikar came down to a kikar. Now, if that's the case, there seems to be something wrong with the proportions over here. When Shlomo first made the menorah, it lost an entire kikar with each burning. Now, what was only a little bit more than a kikar, and it took them 80 burnings to get it down to a kikar? And for the Gemara, kivan d'kai, kai, that's the whole point. Shlomo HaMelech had the gold reduced, refined so much that it simply couldn't go anymore. apparently the fires refined the gold to a certain extent. It was so refined by the time Shlomo was finished with it that how many times they threw it into the fire, it really wouldn't lose anything anymore. So it took them 80 times just to reduce that one single extra dinar. So Rabbi Gershom explained that Zahav reflects the Midas HaDin. The B'nai Safra quotes several sources in Zohar, several references to Zohar, there's something for when Mashiach is going to come. Many explain the Pasuk in Tilim, where you see in the Kesef u'Bezohar v'ein b'shvatav kaysher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with silver and gold, usually it's gold and silver, gold being the more chashev. The Minchas Lazer in his Sefer Divrei Torah explains that Yitzias Mitzrayim, the first Geula was a Geula of Kesef, sort of a silver page and a gold page. The gold was yet to come. The Geula of Zohar, that is the final Geula, the Geula when Mashiach is going to come. So in Yitzias Mitzrayim, there were elements of Kesef and Zohar, but it was basically a Kesef Geula, the Zohar yet to come. Zohar, explains in Minchas Lazer, quoting many sources for this, is a symbol for true Midas HaDin, while Kesef seems to be a symbol more for Rachamim. Memela, we cannot experience, we cannot feel the full brunt of Midas HaDin, so we are living in a Kesef situation. Kanfe Yaina Nechba Ba Kesef. Knesset Yisrael in Galus is Nimshlu LeYaina, the Yaina doing the mitzvahs. The wings of the Dav are symbolic of our mitzvahs. And they are Nechba Ba Kesef, because we aren't ready yet for the Zav. And the Midas HaLazer points out an interesting thing. We know when there's a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we pass him like the Beis Hillel. The Rizal explains that the Beis Shammai Midas HaDin, and only when the Mashiach comes, will we be ready for that Madrega of Midas HaDin. For instance, the Beis Shammai hold that a person has to lay down when he recites Shema, B'shach B'chah in its literal sense. The Mishnah in Brachas tells us that if Tarfon once tried to do this in accordance with the Beis Shammai, and he experienced a terrible fright with the robbers, and he was tailed because he listened to the Beis Shammai rather than the Beis Hillel. The Anhag of the Beis Shammai is the Anhag of Midas HaDin, and we aren't ready for that yet. On the other hand, in Maseches Brachos, we find a machlokes between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel in regard to Birchas HaMazon. The Beis Hillel say, if somebody forgets to bench, he is not mechuyev, he is not obligated to return to the place where he ate. The Beis Shammai say that he is obligated to return. Over here, however, we see in Halacha that it is preferred of a person that he does return to bench, because even the Beis Hillel are ma'idah that in essence that should be done. They just don't require it. The Gemara in Haraya, the last paragraph of the Sechus Brachas, tells us that Rabbi Baruch Hanan was once traveling in a caravan, and he realized at one point that several miles back, he forgot to bench. So he wanted them to wait for him to go back by himself and bench. He knew, however, if he just says he forgot to bench, they wouldn't wait for him, so he told them, please wait for me. I forgot a golden dove. In our last camp, I put it down and I left it there. So they heard that Rabbi Baruch Hanan forgot a golden dove. That's a reason to wait for him to go back. So the Gemara says he went back with the intent to go back and bench. And indeed, he found a golden dove there. According to Taisus Yamtif, the Minchas HaLazer explains that by benching we say Nevarach Elokeinu, not Nevarach Hashem. Elokeinu is the Shem for Midas HaDin. Because the mezaynes of a person, the food that a person gets, always comes to him via Midas HaDin. This is one aspect of our life where there is a very precise cheshbin as to the exact penny that a person is going to make throughout the year. It is determined on the Rosh Hashanah. That's Midas HaDin. Nothing changes that. When it comes to Birchas HaMazon, when it comes to Mazon, there is a certain allowance of the Hanhaga of Din. And therefore, we see over here that we do, in a certain sense, Paskin like the Beis Shammai. Now, even though the Rishonim explained that the reason we Paskin like the Beis Shammai and we prefer that one goes back to bench is because, in essence, the Beis Hillel don't disagree. They also prefer one should go back. It's just they don't require it. The point is, we do see over here that the Beis Shammai are right. Because Birchas HaMazon is Din, the Zaynus is Din, and Melo we Paskin like the Beis Shammai. Rabbi Baruch Hanan made up a story about a golden dove. The golden dove that he picked as an excuse wasn't just something that came to his mind. The Yaina, the Kanfi Yaina, reflects the mitzvahs for Klal Yisrael and Galus. He understood the importance of going back, of paskening like the Beis Shammai over here, and he got to Birchas HaMazon. And therefore, for those simple people, he said, listen, I have to go back and get a golden dove. Gold, again, versus a silver dove. Well, our mitzvahs today are Nimshal Kesef, Kanfiyan and Nechba the Kesef, but Rabbi Baruch Hanan was talking about Birchas HaMazon, he was talking about the Mezoinis, which is Midas HaDin, and that is Liyasid Lovely, the Anhaga of Midas HaDin. So he returns, and indeed, he comes back with that golden dove, because Rabbi Baruch Hanan was Mi'oirer, the Schus HaGe'ula, the Schus of Liyasid Lovely, the Hamshach of Mezoinis. even to the extent where physically he was able to show them the golden dove. Shlomo Melech throughout his entire life wanted to bring the Geula. He was hoping to bypass Golus. And that is why the Mefarshim explains, the Maral explains, that he tried to marry Bas Parai and marry all the queens. Instead of Klal Yisrael having to wander from country to country in Golus, he was hoping to bring everyone to Eretz Yisrael and be misakin it that way. And his lavish golden treasures and the way he made everything out of gold around him also reflects this concept, that he wanted to bring Mashiach right then and there, the Anhaga of Zahav. And indeed, if there is any a time in our history which gives us somewhat of a picture of what things should look like when Mashiach comes, it is during the height of Shlomo HaMelech's reign. And therefore we see over here this vast amount of gold. In any event, Zach the Gemara Vaita, Amar of Shmuel Ban Achmeini, Amar of Yonason, Maidach Siv, what is meant with the pasuk, Al HaMenayra HaTahayra, upon the pure Menayra. Why should I think the Menayra should be Tami that the pasuk has to say, Al HaMenayra HaTahayra? And for the Gemara, means sheyardu maser mimokim tahara. Moshe Rabbeinu was given an image of a heavenly menorah that came down mimokim tahara from a place of purity from Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu should know how to pattern his menorah. Elamiyat affect the Gemara. That's pshat in the pasuk. What do you do with this pasuk? Al shulchan hatar. Are we to say over here too sheyardu maisa mimokim tahara that Moshe Rabbeinu was given an image of a heavenly shulchan to pattern his table after? Now the Gemara seems to assume as a pshita that is not the case. The Rashba asks, why? Why can't we say Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a heavenly image of the shulchan to know how to make the shulchan, just like he was shown a menorah? So the Rashba explains that the menorah was an extremely complicated keli. It had precise measurements, precise pictures, cups on it, flowers, knobs, each one going in different directions, different branches coming out of it, some independently, sometimes all of these images together, and it all had to be banged out of one mass of metal, one mass of gold. This requires a superhuman effort beyond what human engineering, what human hands can put together. So we understand Moshe Rabbeinu was shown the image in a heavenly form, so he should have what to pattern his menorah after. In addition, there is a pasuk, Kemara Sheher Hashem in regard to the menorah, that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown a heavenly menorah. So the Gemara feels comfortable with saying in regard to the menorah that menorah HaTahara means the heavenly menorah. But the Shulchan just wasn't that complicated. The whole Mishkan, to a certain extent, is complex. Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem with it. Why should I say he had to see a heavenly Shulchan in order to know how to make it? So what does the pasuk mean? Al Shulchan HaTahara. Elin Azak the Gemara. Tahara Mechlal Shehu Tami. So the pasuk is saying you should know the shulchan could be tummy, it could be mekabel tummy. Memela al shulchan hatar. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. Now that's the case. Once you say that pshat in regard to the shulchan, so hachanam, you say the same thing in regard to the menorah. Tahira, what does the pasuk mean? Al menorah hatahira. Not that there was a heavenly menorah over here from a place of tahara, but rather al menorah hatahira mechlal shehi tamei. You should know it's possible that the menorah should become tummy. That's all. Flek tegemar. Bishlema granted Hasam Kidrash Lakish. In regard to the Shulchan, I can understand why we should have a pasuk saying Al Shulchan Hatar. You should know the Shulchan could be Mekabel Tumah. There's a great Chiddush over there, Kidrash Lakish, as the Shlakish asks. But in regard to the Menorah, there simply is no Chiddush. I can't say the pasuk is just telling me it could be Mekabel Tumah. Of course it could be Mekabel Tumah. Why should it be different than any other Keli? Now what is this Shlakish? Why am I saying there is a Chiddush in regard to the Shulchan that it's Mekabel Tumah? What is meant with the pasuk al shulchan hatar? Michlal, so you see from this, shehu tami, it's possible for it to become tami. How could the shulchan become tami? Kliyetz ha'asi l'nachashu. It is a wooden keli made to be stationary. And we have a rule, v'chol kliyetz ha'asi l'nachas, any wooden keli that is made to be stationary, einoi mekabel tuma. There is a pasuk, explains Rashi, the pasuk by Shratzen, v'chol kliyetz I sack. So the pasuk compares kliyetz to a sack. Just like a sack is metaltal moli v'rekam, you move it around when it's empty and you fill it up and carry things around with it. Wooden kelim are only mekabel tuma when you move them around, when you carry things with them, when you move them around empty, when you move them around full, when they are metaltal moli v'rekam, then they're mekabel tuma. But a wooden keli that is made with the intent to be a stationary piece, not to carry things with it, not to move it around, this is not Mekabel Tumah. Now, it would seem that the Shulchan of the Beis Hamikdash was made to stand in one place. Why should they move it around? So why should it be Mekabel Tumah? Ela Malami. So the Pasuk is teaching me that you should know the Shulchan in the Beis Hamikdash was not a stationary keli. It was indeed made to move things around with it. What did they move with the Shulchan? Where did the Shulchan go? Malami, this teaches us, says Rish Lakish. This is the Gears in the Shita. Shemekdi and Oisai, they picked up the Shulchan, Imarim Lechem upon him Le'olid Agalim, and they showed the Lechem upon him to all the Olid Agalim, to all the people that came to Yerushalayim to be Olid Agal. V'yayim, they said to them, Re'uchi Bascham Lefnei HaMakai, see how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, see how your love is important before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'ichi Bascham, where's the great love over here that manifests itself in the Lechem upon it? Zakh de Gemari, Kedir Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Amr Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Nes Godel Nasr B'Lechem upon him. A great miracle occurred with the Lechem upon him. Silugai Kisidurai. When they took it off, it was just as warm, just as fresh as when they put it on. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and this Pasuk is when David ran to Noivir HaKoyhanim, and they gave him to eat from the Lechem upon it. Lasum Lechem Cham B'Yoyim Hilachai. To put hot bread in that day that it was taken away. In other words, the bread of the Lechem upon him was just as warm, just as hot, just as fresh on the day that they took it off after an entire week of laying on the table as it was when they first put it on fresh out of the oven. That was the special Lechem upon him, the fresh bread given to David HaMelech when he was running away from Shaul. And you see from here this was the case in regard to the Lechem upon him regularly, that it retained its freshness miraculously. And this showed HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to Klal Yisrael, so they always picked up the Shulchan to show it to all of Klal Yisrael. So the Shulchan becomes a keli that they were metaltal, mole v'reikon. It's just like a sack. And therefore it is mekabel tumah, and this is a great chiddush. Had the Pasuk not told us Shulchan HaTorah, that it's shayach for it not to be Torah, I wouldn't have known this, that the Shulchan was a vehicle to move things around with. But that's all fine and well as far as the Shulchan goes. Now, l'halacha over here, but in regard to the menorah, am I to say Tehoira when the Pasuk says Menorah Tehoira Mechlal Shehi Tumeya? That's what the Pasuk teaches us, that it's Shayach for the Menorah to be Mekabel Tumah? Pshita. Of course it's Mekabel Tumah. Kli Matchis Ninu. It's a metal keli. The Kli Matchis Kibulei Mekabel Tumah. Kli Matchis is always Mekabel Tumah regardless of its intent while it was made. If it's made Lenachas or if it's made to move around, in regard to Matchis, it makes absolutely no difference. It's always Mekabel Tumah. So there would be no chiddush for the Pasuk just to tell me you should know the menorah could be mekabel tumah. Why should it be different than any other kli matchas? Elanar therefore concludes the Gemara. In regard to the menorah, it must be that pshat is menorah ha-tahira. What does tahira mean? It has nothing to do with tumah and tahara. Rather, sheyardu masel mimakim tahara, the etzem menorah came down mimakim tahara from a pure place, from Shemayim, to show Moshe Rabbeinu how to make the menorah. Incidentally, the Rambam breaks down Kli Eitz into three categories. A wooden vessel. It can be very tiny. It can be a bowl. Looks like the typical kind of keli that's mekabel tumah, but if it was made with the specific intent for it to be stationary, whoever made it honestly intended for this to be a keli that's going to stand in one place, and we're not going to move things around with it, it's not mekabel tumah. That's the gzeiros hakasuv about wood. On the other hand, you can have a large wooden box, as big as a house. It can be maxed even 100 sas of Rambam, and it can have a flat bottom, but if it was made with the specific intent that I'm going to move things around with it, if it was made with the intent that I'm going to use this as a vehicle to carry things, it's metaltal moli v'reikon, to put things inside and move it, it is mekabel tumah. That's the gzeiros hakasuv. Now there is a third category, and that's where somebody makes a wooden keli without any specific intent one way or another. He didn't intend for it to be stationary, didn't intend for it to be moved around, so it depends on the characteristics of the keli. For instance, if it's so big that it would be mekabel mem sa belach, 40 sa of liquid, or 2 kurs of something solid, and has a flat bottom, we assume that it is not a keli that was made to be moved around, and it's not mekabel tumah. If not, we have to assume that it is a keli made to carry things with, to move things around, and it is mekabel tumah. But all of this is just in regard to wood. In regard to metal, it makes absolutely no difference if it's made to move things around with, to carry things, or if it's stationary. It's mekabel tumah anyhow. The name of the Gemara concludes over here. When the Pasuk says Shulchan HaTahar, here we mean Tara as in tumah and tahar. You should know Shulchan HaTahar, but it could be mekabel tumah. although it's wood, I will tell you a great chiddush. The shulchan in the Mishkan, in the Beis Hamikdash, was made as the type of a keli to move around, to carry things with, because it was picked up to be held high, to show all the oily regal, the great love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael, to show them that the bread is warm. And that is the chiddush of the pasuk, that the shulchan was the type of keli that was made to be moved, that it was picked up. Under normal circumstances, I would think that a shulchan is a kli etzel asi l'nachas. It should not be mekabeltam. In regard to the menorah, however, for the pasuk to be telling us with a menorah had to hire that the menorah could be mekabeltam, that would not be a chiddush at all. Of course, if the menorah is mekabeltam, why shouldn't it be? Matchus is mekabeltam if or if not it's stationary. Therefore, we have to see over here, menorah had to hire means it came down min hashemayim. Zakti Maravait, Tanya Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda says, it is his opinion that the menorah wasn't the only thing that came down in Hashemayim. Aron Shalesh, the Aron of fire, the Shulchan Shalesh, a table of fire, u'menorah Shalesh, and a menorah of fire, Yardu min Hashemayim, came down in Hashemayim, v'ra Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu took a good look at that, v'yasa k'maisam, and he patterned his after what he saw. How do we know this? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Uri'ei v'asei, look and make it, Kisav Nisan Asha Atamara Bahar, according to the patterns which will be shown to you on the mat. Rashi explains this, Kisav Nisan applies to all three, the Menorah, the Shulchan, and the Arayin, and the pasuk says that I am going to show you. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw all of them in the form of fire. Elamiyatifek the Gemara, the pasuk also says, V'hakimoysa es ha-mishkan ki-mishpataya she-hareisa bahar, so hachinami, that a mishkan of fire, did the whole big mishkan of fire come down in the Shemayim and Moshe Rabbeinu saw it? You find no makar for that. And for the Gemara, hach over here, k'siv ki-mishpata. Here the pasuk says, V'hakimoysa es ha-mishkan ki-mishpataya she-hareisa bahar, so it means like the mishpatim, like the halachais that you will learn by ha-sinai. So seeing refers to the halachais. Hassan over there, it doesn't say halachas. Ksiv, it says kisav nisam. The actual images, the actual patterns. So they came down in the Shemayim and Moshe Rabbeinu saw it. Zag de Gemara Vayta, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yechanan. Gavriel chager kemin tzik yahaya. Gavriel put on a kind of a belt around himself. The kind of belt, the kind of girdle, so to speak, that workers put on when they are ready to get to work. It's sort of an expression like rolling up one's sleeves. They wrap the kind of belt around them to make sure they are begad and don't drag on the ground. The herele le Moshe, and he showed Moshe Maisa Menorah. The chziv, as the pasuk says, v'zeh Maisa Menorah. This is the Maisa Menorah. Zakti Maravaita, Tanan Beit Abi Shmuel, Shloisha Dvarim, three things, hayakashim le Moshe, were difficult for Moshe to understand, atche herele HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'etzboi, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Kavayachol, showed Moshe Rabbeinu with his finger. Needless to say, this is of course just a figure of speech, as we find many times in the Torah. What were these three things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu bi'etzboi? V'elu hein menorah, v'rash chodesh u'shratzim. And the Gemara explains, menorah, Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding exactly what the menorah should look like. The chesiv, the pasuk says, v'zeh ma'isa ha-menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu, here it is, look at it, this is it. V'rash chodesh, the chesiv, the pasuk says also, ha-chodesh ha-zeh l'chem reish chodashim. That she explains, Moshe Rabbeinu found it difficult to understand what exactly is considered the Moled Levana. At the beginning of the Lechaydash, the Levana is very small, it's very easy to get confused, it's hard to determine what the guidelines are. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, this constitutes Moled HaLevana, this is the real thing. In Rosh Hashanah, we see that the Tanoim asked the Eidim, do you see this, do you see that? It's very easy to get confused. Now, what was the problem with the Shratzen? It was difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to recognize which ones are Tami and which are Tar. So Shratzim, in regard to Shratzim too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, d'chsiv, v'zeh l'chem ha-tami, this is the tami that Gawana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. The Yeshayim and others say there was another thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show Moshe Rabbeinu, af hilchais shchita, shenema, because the pasuk says, v'zeh ashatasa al ha-mizbeach. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure exactly where the makom ha-shchita is. The pasuk says, v'zeh ashatasa al ha-mizbeach, tasa refers to the beginning of the avoda, that is the shchita, and v'zeh ashatasa, this is what you are supposed to do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him. Taisus points out we also find it in regard to treifas. V'zoysechaya shetayichu. Chazal tell us, Malamed shetafas HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol min umin, every single kind of species, and showed it to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, this you can eat, this you can't eat. However, there we don't find the Lashon Zeh. So you don't have this concept of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heloi bi'etzboi, this is it. Although there too HaKadosh Baruch Hu did show him. Now in regard to Machzis HaShekel, we do find the Lashon Zeh. The pasuk says v'ze yitnu, and Chazal tell us HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a shekel shel esh. So Tosfos explains that their pshat is Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what it was at all until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed it. We're talking about concepts over here that Moshe Rabbeinu knew. There were certain vague aspects of it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is it, this is the way it should be, and the name of all your sfeikos should be answered. Now there are several things over here we have to understand. First, let's go back to what the Gemara told us about the Lechem Apanim. Indeed, this is a tremendous nes. The Lechem Apanim stayed warm all week. But then again, there were countless nisim in the Beis Hamikdash. There was an endless list of miracles. So why the Shulchan? Why was it so important to pick up the Shulchan and show Klal Yisrael the bread and say, you see, it's warm after a whole week of laying on the table. It must mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. Why this particular nes more than any of the other miracles that were in the Beis Hamikdash? The Ramban explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world yesh miyayin. There was nothing, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world out of it. But from that point on, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set things up that blessings are not chal on empty things. You have to have a keli. Like we see Elisha told the woman, you have to bring kelim. As many kelim as you have is going to be filled up with oil. But there has to be something there for the bracha to be chal on. By the same token, we have a kepeda while we bench during Berachas HaMazon, there should be a little bit of bread on the table left over. Because there has to be something for the bracha when we bench and we say Berachas HaMazon, we're mamshach a bracha ourselves, and we want the blessing to be chal on something. It isn't chal on a yesh miyayin. The Menorah was Mashpia Tayyar to Klal Yisrael. The Shulchan in the Mishkan, that was Mashpia Parnasa to Klal Yisrael. All the blessings, the brachis of Parnasa went via the Shulchan. That is why the Ramban explains the Lechem Apanim had to be on the Shulchan the entire week, because it is during the week that they are Isaac in Parnasa, and that's when they need the brachis, this avenue of the Hamshacha of brachis for Parnasa to them. So we can understand when the Shulchan was picked up and Klal Yisrael saw that it was still warm, this meant a tremendous hamshach of parnasa, a tremendous hashpah of blessing that is being channeled directly to them. The warmer and the fresher the lechem was in the shulchan, the more the bracha into the hearts of every single person of Klal Yisrael. So there was a tremendous manifestation of love in this. It's called lechem apanim because it's lechem sheyesh l'panim, it has a face. The Imri Yemes said that every individual related to the lechem apanim differently. Lechem sheyesh l'panim, you saw your own face. The more emuna a person had in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the more he believed that whatever he has comes from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the more he saw in the Lechem upon him, the more he saw it as a fresh piece of bread, the more he saw it as a warm piece of bread, the more hamshachis of pranasi was mamshach. The less emuna, the less belief a person has that whatever he has, every single penny, comes from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, the less he saw in the Lechem upon him. So incidentally, that would be another reason why they would have to pick it up and show it to the masses, because every person had to see himself in the Lechem upon him. And he points out further that at the end of Pasha's Emma, we have the story of the Megadev, the person that went, and he started cursing Klapi Mila. And Chazal tells us one of his tainas were against the Lechem upon him. And he said, the Lechem upon him, it's old and it's cold. The Derech HaMelech is not to eat old and cold bread. So this is what we are serving. This is an avoid in the Beis Hamikdash, bread that is 8 days old. The Torah says, he was a Megadev. He did not have a Munan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Memela to him, he saw nothing in the bread but old bread. For Klal Yisrael, for the early regal that were experiencing intimate relationships with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Yeshua's HaShechina, for them, the bread was fresh. And therefore we find this pasuk that our Gemara brings of Lechem Chan B'Yom Hilakhoi B'davka, where the Kohen gave it to David HaMelech. Here David HaMelech is running away from Shaul, his life is in great danger. David HaMelech would not despair, his amuna, his heart was as open as ever, and the melech for him, the bread was as fresh as ever. Hashpas of Parnasa, Hashpas of sustenance. While the Shulchan represents Parnasa, the Menorah, as we know, represents Torah. The Ben Yehoshua is Marach in a fascinating way, explaining how every detail of the Menorah, every single flower, every single knob, opened up channels of Hashpahs from all different kinds of Eilam Yisrael Yainan. So when we say over here, Moshe Rabbeinu waited until they showed him in Hashemayim how to make the Menorah, it isn't just the Shiloh of sculpture. It is the essence of what the Menorah brings down to this world that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu from the heavens. In the Mishnah we learned Shtei Pashiyos Sheba Mezuzah Mi'akve Zuezu. One Pasha without the other simply would not serve as a Mezuzah. V'yafilu Ksav Echad Mi'akvan. Even a single letter missing invalidates the entire Mezuzah. Zakti Gemara Pshita. What's the Chiddush? Of course a single letter invalidates the entire Mezuzah. The Torah says Uchsavtam. We dash N'ksiva Tama, a complete writing. You have to write everything the Torah says you have to write. If you don't, then you don't have a Mezuzah. And for the Gemara and Hanan, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is not a missing letter. It's Pashid, that would be possible. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav Lo Netzricha Ela LeKutza Shel Yud. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is, even if a Kutza Shel Yud is missing, the Mezuzah is possible. The Yud is there, it's just missing small part of it. Now, what the Kutza Shel Yud is a Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says the Kutza Shel Yud is the right leg of the Yud, the part that comes down. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says a Yud without the right leg simply doesn't look like a Yud. That too would not be a Chiddush. So Tosfos explains, it's not the right leg of the Yud, the part that comes down, but look at the left side of the Yud. And when we say left, we mean our left, looking down at the Yud. There's the block, and at the bottom left-hand corner of the block, you have to come down a little bit. That's the Kutza Shel Yud. Later on in the Gemara, we're going to see why. And if you're missing even that tiny drop, then this is possible. In fact, the Gemara, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah. The Hanami Pshita, that's also a Pshita. All of the ICIs have special, complex halachas in their writing. And if you don't write it the way you are supposed to write it, then it doesn't constitute an halachic ice. So if a yud has to have a kutza shel yud, and it doesn't have it, it's not a yud. And if it's not a yud, you don't have a mezuzah. Elan azok the Gemara, the chiddush of the Mishnah is l'chidduch de Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, like the other halacha of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. The first halacha of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav about the kutza shel yud simply is not a chiddush. But this other halacha, this he would have not known. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kalos, every letter, She'ein gevil makivla, that does not have parchment surrounding it, may arba rechisel from all of its four sides. In other words, the letter is touching another letter, so let us puzzle. So when the Mishnah says ksav echad mi'akvan, the Mishnah doesn't mean you're missing a single letter. The Mishnah means you're missing a single halacha in regard to writing letters. And that is, the letters may be beautiful, they may be perfect, but they are touching one another. Now let's understand over here as follows. The Rashba explains, we're not saying over here that because the ICIs are touching each other, they don't look like kosher ICIs. If they're distorted, of course they're possible. That wouldn't be a chiddush. We're talking about two good ICIs that look like ICIs. It's just that they're touching each other. That is a separate soul on its own. You have to have parchment all around the ice. Eish shchayre al gavi eish levena, black on white. The white around can be just as important as the black of the ice itself. Now, the Rashba makes a diak over here. The Lashon of the Gemara is, any ice that is not surrounded by parchment on four sides is possible. Now, we understand that to mean that the ICs are touching each other. That's why you don't have parchment on all four sides. Now, the Lashon of the Gemara really should have been simple, says the Rashba. You have to have an ice that is surrounded by parchment on all sides. Why four sides? It doesn't say all four sides. It doesn't say kol dal juchisel. But kol ice she'ein gvil makivla may aber chisel from its four sides. Seems, says the Rashba, the Gemara is trying to tell us something over here. So the Rashba learns that this Gemara is not saying that when ICIs touch each other, they automatically become possible. This Gemara is saying that you have to have parchment on all four sides. Let's take, for example, the following case. We have a beis on one line and a chaf on top of that. If the bottom of the chaf and the top of the beis are connected in such a way that it's one wide black, there's not a drop of parchment on top of the base or underneath the chaf. This is possible. This is an ice that does not have hakafas gevil. There's no parchment over here at all on one of the four sides. On the other hand, let's say you have the top of the base, bottom of the chaf, and there's space in between them. You see parchment there, except there's one point where you have a blotch connecting them. As long as you have parchment on that fourth side, on the top side of the base and the bottom side of the chaf, the fact that they are touching each other, provided that the tzura of the ice is not distorted, is still conscious of the Rashba. In regard to tzura, if you have two icy ice, they're big, clear, distinct, it's just that at one point they are touching each other, there is reason to say that it's conscious. Because the way that Rashba learns, there is some parchment on all four sides, and you have the tzura so icy ice over here, nothing is distorted. Theoretically, if the joint to be taken away, you would still have tzura so icy ice. However, most places can say that it should be fixed and it has to be erased. Now, the big problem is, if you have a situation where after erasing the point that connects the two, you don't have tzura so icy ice left. In regard to a Sefer Torah, this is a halbitzar, because you always have the eights of erasing both icy ice and rewriting them. But you can't do that in regard to tefillin and mezuzah, because tefillin and mezuzah have to be kesidron. You have to write it in order. Somebody realizes he made a spelling mistake after finishing a mezuzah, there's nothing that can be done. So when there's a connection of two Isiites and you don't have two Isiites, it's a serious problem. The Ben Maim Chaims is a Mer de Gavart. There are 600,000, approximately 600,000 Isiites in the Torah. They are in retrospect to the approximate 600,000 Neshamis that were in the Midbar. And each and every one of us are embedded into one of those 600,000 Neshamis. This is a concept explained by many, by the Shlah and many others. So there's an ice in the Sefer Torah that is our ice, that our Neshamis are rooted into that ice. That's why Sefer Torah missing any ice is possible. It means it's missing a Neshama. Now, by that same token, every ice represents a different task and a different mission on this life, because each and every one of us have a different mission on this life. And therefore, when we don't realize that, when we start rubbing each other and getting in each other's way, this within itself could possibly save a title. Fracting with a writer, Amar Rav Ashiyan bar Nidvach Meshmei Rav Yehuda. Nikiv Toichei Shel Hei Kosher, if the inside of a hay has a hole, it's kosher. Yerechei, the right leg, possible, it's possible. What is the inside of the hay? Rashi says it could mean the inner leg of the hay, the leg that's not detached. The Yerechei would mean the right leg of the hay, the part that's connected to the roof of the hay. Now there is another pshat in Rashi that the toichei shel hay doesn't mean the inner leg, but it means the parchment. In other words, you have here a hay, and there's no parchment in the middle of the hay, there's just a hole. But none of the ink is erased. I'm going to say that the dima fashli menedet of Huna. The following, and he's referring to an explanation of the previous halacha, was explained to me by the Huna, that Rav Yaakov said, "Let the deep mafashli menedet of Yehuda." Rav Yehuda explained it to me. Now, what is this halacha that they were both mekabel? As follows: that the Gemara nikiv toichei shel hay, as we said previously, if there's a hole in the toichei shel hay, it's kosher. Yerechei, if there's a hole in the right leg of the hay, it depends. In nishtayr by kishir oisk tana, then it's kosher. If after the perforation, after the hole, there still remained enough to constitute the size of a small letter, it would be kosher, then it's valid. Beim lav, but if you don't have enough ink left on the right side of the hay after the hole to constitute a kosher letter, possible, it's possible. Now, Rashi says this whole halacha applies to tefillin. Why does Rashi pick tefillin? Why not Sifrei Torah or mezuzos? So the Yechayim explains, the Sankadashim explains that the lashon of possible is mashma, it's possible, you can't do anything about it. In regard to Sefer Torah, you can always do something about it. You can erase it and write the ice again. In regard to tefillin, you can't, because as explained previously, tefillin have to be written kisidra. Now, according to that chat, when Rashi says over here tefillin, it's lab dafka tefillin, but Rashi means tefillin or mezuzos, liafuke Sefer Torah, where the lashon of possible may not be as applicable. Fact, the Gemara Agra Chamud Rav Abba, Agra, who was the father-in-law of Rav Abba, we turn out to Chavtesim days. It once happened to him that if Sekalei Kara Vehei, the right leg of the letter Hey in his tefillin, and the Gemara says which Hey, the Hey of Deha'am, the Nikva, it became cut off for the hole. Aslakam Rav Abba, so he came before his son-in-law Rav Abba, and he said, "What's with my tefillin?" Normally, so he told him, "It depends. In the Shtayr by Kishir Eis Ketana Kosher, you have to look at it. If there is still a Shir Eis Ketana after the hole, then it's kosher. The Imlav, if the hole took away so much that there, you don't even have left, the Shir Eis Ketana puff." Now, there are many, many halachas in Shulchan Aruch, literally pages that are written on the basis of these couple of lines of Gemara. First of all, we mentioned before there is a psul if you don't have parchment going around and around the ice. The paper, the parchment, is part of the kasherus. It's eish shchayra algabe eish levena. You have to have the white over there. Most poskim hold that mukiv gevil is only from the outside. You don't have to have the white inside. Now the Yishalmi is machmir, and the other Lashon and Rashi that learns toich shel hay, meaning the inside parchment of a hay, would clearly indicate to the contrary of that. Because according to this Lashon, you have no parchment inside. It's not mukiv gevil in the hay. You don't see any parchment there. It's all cut out. So according to that Lashon, now Gemara would argue with the Yishalmi, who requires a hakavas gevil even for the inside of ICS. Now let's go to the other pshat. Let's say nikiv toich shel hay does not mean the inside parchment of the hay, but it means a little leg on the bottom left of the hay. The leg is not connected. The Rash says, and the Rash learns like this pshat, nikiv toich shel hay is always kosher. Why? Because the Rash says you don't have to have a shear for that unconnected leg of the hay. Even a tiny dot is enough. Memela, in regard to the right leg of the hay, the Gemara says it depends. Here you have to have a shear. So So there's a hole. It depends how big the hole is. Was there a shear left or not? But in regard to the little leg of the hay, it's not shaykh to say you have to look at it and determine after the hole if enough was left. If there's anything there, that's the shear to start with. Because the Rosh says the shear to start with of that little leg of the hay is just a dat. The Ramah, however, says many people can disagree with the Rosh, and they say a tiny dat is not enough. You have to have some kind of a shear for that little leg of the hay, and Mimela, we do have to look what happens if there is a hole over there. The fact that you still see something doesn't automatically make it kosher. Sakdim Ravaita Rami Bar Tamri, the who Rami Bar Dekuli, who is the same as Rami Bar Dekuli, he had the following shaila. If Sakale Kari the Vav, the bottom part of the leg of the Vav, in the word Devayaharik, and the word of Vayaharik Hopchar, got cut off the nikva with a hole. So the shaila is what's left. In other words, if too much of the Vav is cut off, it becomes a Yud. That's the comment of Zer, so he came before of Zer. Amalei told him, this is what you have to do. Zil Isi Yanuka, go and bring a small child, the Loi Chachim, who is not too smart, the Loi Tipish, who is also not a fool. And see how he reads it. Ikarele Zayarag, if he reads it with a Vav, it's kosher. Eloi, if he can't make out a Vav, so it's not a Vav, it's a Yod. So it's not Vayarak Obchar, rather it's Yaraku, apostle in the name of the Tefillin apostle. Literally, the word Yarag means he killed himself. So, Hayois, we're speaking over here about Kaviyachu. A child with any amount of intelligence would immediately look at this, and if not, he recognizes the Yois, would not read it Yarag, he would read it Vayarag, that he killed somebody else. In other words, a good Priwanei Rebbe will always tell you that if a child is too smart, sometimes it makes it more difficult to teach him how to read. Because he may recognize words, and he starts the word and doesn't bother finishing off reading the word. He just knows it by memory. So we don't want a child that's too smart over here, because he will not be able to give a true opinion on the ice itself. We want a judgment over here that is based strictly on the visual appearance of the ice. No calculations or other cheshbonos. And in order to do that, we have to find the right child who is not too smart and not too much of a tipish, or else he doesn't know what the ice is like. Now, there definitely is a makom in halacha, it's brought on a Shulchan Aruch, to use this eitz of a small child in determining certain sfeikos by yaisis. The problem is, you need an expert to determine when and when not this eitz can be used. If an ice is too much distorted, even if a child would say that it's kosher, that doesn't make it kosher. So the Lavush Paskins, that if we do show a child an ice, we should not cover up the other icy ice around it. The whole point is, it has to be a child that wouldn't understand, even if he did see the other icy ice. However, others argue, even though the Mechaber Paskins like the Lavush, the Magen Avraham, the Shem the Maritz says, our minig is, if we do show a child an ice to determine a suffix, we cover up the other icy ice. We want him just to look at the single letter we're showing him. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the heavens to be the Kabul of the Torah, we found the Kadosh Baruch Hu sheyoyshev v'koysher ksarim li'aisiyos. Kadosh Baruch Hu was like tying little crowns to the tops of the letters. Ksarim are like the tagim that we see in the tops of our letters in the Sefer Torah. Abba Lefan of Rabbeinu Shalom, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbeinu Shalom, mimi akiv al yadcha. In other words, who's making you do this? What's wrong with the ICAs just the way they are? Why do you have to put crowns on top of them? Amalai, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Adam Echad Yesh, there is one person, Sha'asid Li'ais, who is going to be at a future time. Besides Kama Davis, at the end of many generations, the Akiva ben Yosef Shemai, his name is Akiva ben Yosef, the reference over here to Rebbe Akiva, Sha'asid Lidroish Al-Kal Kutz V'Kutz. He will expound, he will dash in every single tiny little drop of ink over here. Tilin, tilin, shalalachis, mountains and mountains of halachis. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, there are great sodas in these tagim, and Rebbe Akiva will know how to dash in them. Abba Lefan of, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rebbeinu Shalom, Heruli, show me this man. Amaloi, so Hashem said to Moshe, Chazar li achrecha. Go backwards. Turn around. Halach v'yashav b'soich shmeinashuris. Moshe went and sat down behind eight rows, and he heard Rabbi Akiva's drasha, v'loi ha'yedeya mahi naimen, he didn't understand what they were saying. So Tashish Kaichi, he was very upset about this, Yeragmas Nefesh, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand. Kiva Shagia L'Dabar Echad, when it came to one point, and Rashi explains it came to one point where they just couldn't figure out the reason why, Amri L'Talmidav, so the Talmidim said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Menayinlach, how do you know this, what you're saying? So he told them, halacha l'maishin esinai, that's how I know it. So when Moshe Rabbeinu heard that, this Yashvadata, he felt better, even though Moshe didn't bring the Torah down yet. But he felt better hearing his name over here. Chazri balas nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so Moshe Rabbeinu came back before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lefanav, and Moshe said, Rabbi Nishlo, Yash l'chadim kezeh, you have a person like this, a person like Rabbi Akiva, you have to nice and Torah al Yadi, and you're giving the Torah through me, give it through him. Amalai, so Hashem said to Moshe, Shesai, remain silent, please. Kach ol b'machshav al lefani, this is how I want it. Amar lefanav Rabbi Nishlo. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Rabbi Nishlo, Harry son of Torah, so you showed me his Torah, show me his reward. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu said, let me see what is going to happen to the Yekiva on this world. Amalai. So Hashem said, Chazal Yechrecha, again, turn around, Chazal Yechayav, Ra, and he saw, Shashaychlin Besarai, the Mukalin. Mukalin is the place where the butchers used to weigh the meat. Rabbi Yekiva was one of the Asarai Rugi Malchus, and they raked his skin off. Amalai, fun of the Bain Shalev. Zu Torah, the Zeus Charet, this is the Torah, and this is the reward for Torah? Amalei, so Hashem said to Moshe, again we find this Lashon, Shesaik remained silent, Kach Ola B'machshav Olafanai, this is how I want it. The Sefer Tzayin Kadoshim, quoting the Asara Memoris from the Marami panel, explains that the reason Moshe Rabbeinu didn't quite understand what Rabbi Akiva was saying was because the fact was Moshe Rabbeinu was still somewhat alive, and Rabbi Akiva was still pure neshama. The fact that Moshe was alive and he had some shachas to a guf, this prevented him from understanding the epitome of the sideis that Rabbi Akiva was expounding on. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbeinu Shleilem, if he is better than I, if I can't understand what he's saying, give the Torah through him. So Kadosh Baruch Hu answered, Shesaik kach ala b'machshava, explains the same Kadoshim, remain silent. You don't understand it now, because he is just machshava, and you are still part of a guf. But before you had a shaykhus to your guf, and eventually you will understand the same thing Rabbi Akiva does. Now, as far as the second Shesai Kachala B'machshava, when Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rabbeinu Shalom Zu Torah Vezu Schara, the same Kaddishim explains as follows. Chazal tells when Hashem created the world, he created it with Midas Hadin. Then when he saw the world could not have a kiyum with Midas Hadin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mixed in Midas Harachamim. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do this because of the Rasha. However, there are tzaddikim that are ra'oi for the Midas Hadin. In other words, what we're saying over here is the Kadosh Baruch Hu knew to start with, when he made the world of Midas Hadin, that the world would not be able to survive with Midas Hadin, but Hashem made it bedafka that way because there are certain neshamis that could survive Midas Hadin. And the Nela, for the rest of the world, he mixed in rachamim, but for those special neshamis, Midas Hadin was left in its pure form. Now, needless to say, these neshamis that have a life of Midas Adin, Kadosh Baruch Hu is medagdig with them, kechot asayra, any iota of deviations from the law could result in a catastrophe, but when these neshamis get to Olam Haba, it is nothing. We can't even compare, in our wildest imagination, the madrigas of these neshamis to other neshamis, because they lived a whole different kind of a life in this world. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Zu Torah Vezu Schara, how could this be? How could a personality, a neshama like Rabbi Akiva, how could his skin be raked off? How could you let this happen? So Hashem says, Shesai kach ola b'machshava. Rabbi Akiva is one of those neshamais from the b'machshava HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to create the world with Midas Adin. It's a Midas Adin neshama. You can't understand that. What he was zaycha to is a whole different kind of a thing. He's an hug on this life. It's a whole different kind of an hug. Zakti Maravait. Amarav Shiva Isis, there are seven letters, three chais, shloisha ziyun. There are seven letters that require three special lines on top. The Eluhain, and these are the letters Shatnes Getz. Top of the left leg of the shin, we have three lines. Top of the ayin, and the same for all the other Isis over here. Rashi explains, including the long nun and the regular tzaddik. Now, as to how exactly these three lines went, as you see in Tysus, there's somewhat of a shayla about that. The words that they'd ever taken out of the Shita, I saw in the Svarim of those good sites from those that are truly medagdek to the letter of the law. They add this little line on top of the ches. We see the ches in Rashi and that line on top. Taisa disagrees, and Taisa says the Gemara means that there's just this crown on top of the ches, as you see the picture of the ches in Taisa. That's how the ches is written in the Sefer Torah. Two vavs and that little triangle on top. In any event, there is some kind of a symbol, some kind of a crown on top of a ches. In addition, The totally the car of the hay, the leg of the hay, the left leg of the hay does not touch the tap. Chachi lehu ulegage de chetz. What's the point in this line on top of the chetz? Climber, this tells us. Chayu berumay shalayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lives in the heights of the world. The chetz signifying the term chay. The totally legare the hay, the reason that the leg of the hay, the left leg of the hay, doesn't touch the top. Kidabaymanate of Yehud and Asiya made of Ami, Maidachsiv, what is meant with the pasuk. Bidhu Vashem Adiyad, trust in Hashem forever. Kibakar Hashem Tsur Ailami. What does this mean? I should trust in Hashem because Bakar Hashem Tsur Ailami? Amalei, so he answered him, Kala Toilet Bituchame Bahakadesh Bachu. If one puts his trust solely in a Kadesh Bachu, in other words, if somebody is a bitchu b'Hashem adi ad, then Hashem will be for him a tzur elam. Hashem will protect him. Hashem will be his creator, his protector in both worlds. This is what in particular was troubling me about the pasuk. Ma'ishna d'chsev b'ka, v'lechsev ka. It should have said bitchu b'Hashem adi ad, for Hashem created the world. What is meant? Bika Hashem Tzurelam, with Ka Hashem created the world. And for the Gemara Enochanami, it means with the Yud and the Hey Hashem made the world. Kiddarish Rabbi Yehuda, Ba Rabbi Loyas, Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Loy Dashend, Elu Shnei Elam, if this refers to the two worlds, Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Echad the Hey, one world Hashem made with the Hey, the Echad the Yud. Now, of course, Yud Kevavke is Hashem's name, or at least the way we understand and relate to Hashem. So Rashi explains Hashem split up his name and took from these oisiyos, from the yod and the hay, three drops. And from that, he created fire, water, air, and the entire world, Rashi quoting the Sefer Yetzirah. So we know Hashem created the world with the yod and the hay. What we don't know is, v'yayna yedeya, im hu olam haba b'yod, did Hashem make olam haba with the yod, v'hu olam hazeh, in this world, the hay, or is it the other way around? Im hu olam hazeh, the yod, and for the Gemara Kishu, when the pasuk says Eila Tolis Hashemayim Bo'aretz Behi Baram, referring to the creation of this world, Olam Hazeh, Al Tikri Behi Baram, don't read Behi Baram, Ela Behi Baram. Hashem made this world with the hay. So Haviyamin, now we know that Olam Hazeh Behi, this world was created with a hay, the Olam Haba, and the world to come with a yod. Umit Mei Man Nivra Olam Hazeh Behi. Why was this world compared to a hay? Then they should diamondly exalter. This world is diamond to an open porch. The hay is open underneath. Shekala Reitzel Lutz, if any person that wants to go out, Yatza, the door is open for him. Any person that wants to leave Yiddishkeit, leave Torah, does not have a difficult time in doing so. In my time, a Talya Kare, what is the reason that the hay, the leg of the hay is hanging? The left leg of the hay doesn't go all the way up on top. The yard of a tshuva, if a person wants to return and do tshuva, Mi'adalai, there is a door for him to come in. Frek the Gemara, wouldn't it be easier for him to come in the same way he left, to the bottom of the hay? Why force his way into that little opening between the left leg of the hay and the top of the hay? For the Gemara, let him stay in also. He may try, but it's not going to work. Kedr Shlokish is a Shlokish dash, and Ziyamar Shlokish Maidach said what is meant with the pasuk im leleitzim hu yalitz, pertaining to the leitzim, to the people that are Isaac and Litzatz, hu yalitz, Hashem treats them the same way, uli anavim, and for the modest people, yitain chay. So for the Leitzim, there's a very strong lashon. Yalitz, let them just fall into whatever they want to be. Now for the modest people, yitin chayin, they have a chayin. They have a little grace, but it doesn't seem as much as a bracha as the curse is for the Leitzim. And this is precisely the point. Bolotai, when a person comes to tire himself, Messiah, so they help him along with the Shemayim. He needs a lot of help. He has to be very persistent because the doors don't just open up for tire. It isn't easy. Latame, but when a person wants to come be Matame himself, that's no problem at all. Paiskhan lay, everything opens up. Umaitame is Litaga, what is the reason that the hay on the top left corner, it comes up a little bit, or it has a little bit of a line or a crown, different sheetahs over here, as to what this Taga is? That crown is there because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's difficult to do tshuva, it's hard to come in, however, Iyam Chayz Rabbi, if somebody is persistent enough and he does do tshuva, and he kaishalai kash. The gifts in the sheet is anikoshaloi kesser, a crown. A balshuva has a very special crown, a very special place in Shemayim. Mitneiman nibro olam haba the yud. Why was olam haba created with a yud? And they said tzaddikim shabai muatim. The yud is the smallest of all the letters, and there are very few tzaddikim. Why does the yod droop down a little bit at the bottom left-hand corner? Because the tzaddikim that are in this olam haba that was created with the yod, kaf of shein, their heads are down. Why are their heads down? The honor for one tzaddik is not the same as the honor to the other one. And the neila, their heads are down because they are embarrassed of their friends.